Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we are in the documented persecution module, and we are in the third lesson. And, you know, I tell you, these lessons, you kind of have to go back over them and let them just kind of grow on you, grow in you, because what's happening is we dissect the Book of Acts, and look at these different parts, what happens is we realize that the Lord, on this rock of revelation of who Jesus is, he's building his church, and we are being strengthened. Every one of these modules that we're going into, there is a strengthening going into our spirit in order to do the works of Jesus and to be his church. Now, let me open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the School of Acts. We thank you for what we are learning in this module on persecution. Lord, you declared, blessed are you when men persecute you. And so, Father, we thank you that the blessing is an empowerment of your Spirit, a grace of God. And, Father, we cherish it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's pick up with number 20. Persecution follows Paul. Acts 17, verse 13. And when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the people. That's how much they hated him. That's how much the devil hated Paul. Note, I really believe that Paul's thorn in the flesh was this demonic spirit assigned to harass him at every turn. These Jews followed him in order to stir up cities against him. The power of God's love enabled Paul to walk in miracles, establishing the church while sensing continual hatred and murder against himself. God's grace truly is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And Paul said that, he said, and Jesus said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I tell you, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, that's a scripture that encapsulates what Jesus said, blessed are you when men persecute you. That blessing is the power of God, and it produces some amazing events, such as persecution, men being thrown into prison, and then earthquakes coming and opening the prisons up. You know, that's one side of that blessing. And so amazing. They followed Paul. That's how much they hated him. Number 21, Jews in Corinth oppose and blaspheme. Acts 18, verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, Paul shook his raiment and said, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From this time forward, I will go unto the Gentiles. Note, it is here that Paul fully turns to his high calling, which is to be a witness to the Gentiles. It's important to note that as you read further, you will see that Paul continues to reach out to the Jews, but in his heart, he has turned completely to the Gentiles. And it really was a process in his life to get to that point. I mean, there was a lot of prophetic words concerning his calling to the Gentiles, but He still loved his nation. He still was a Jew of Jews, and he still was debating and going after, you know, his own nation until here. He finally makes that turn, and he's completely sold out to the Gentiles. And it's just powerful. But it came through opposition, came through persecution. Number 22, Jews in Corinth made insurrection against Paul, Acts 18:12. And when Galileo was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. Note, in this account, the Jews in Corinth banded together and brought Paul before the deputy. Now the Lord had already revealed to Paul that no harm would come to him in Corinth. As Paul began to open his mouth to speak, the deputy dismissed the crowd and rebuked the Jewish leaders for their religious strife. It was exactly as the Lord had revealed to Paul. But insurrection, I mean, can you imagine the whole city hating you? I mean, we don't like it when one person screams at us. Paul would go into a city and the whole city would hate him. That's quite a lot of persecution. Let's go to number 23. Ephesian Jews speak evil of the way. Acts 19, verse 9. And when different people were hardened in their hearts and they believed not, so that's a choice, and spake evil of the way before the multitudes, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So persecution comes through what people say. And these guys were using their mouths to speak evil, to criticize. And it comes from a hardness of a heart. And in that, they make a decision. Now, here we see the effects of the gospel upon the human heart. These Jews heard the gospel and then chose not to believe. Their hearts were hardened by an act of their own will. Only people who are convinced of truth have the ability to harden their hearts against the truth. Now meditate that, because that's what these people, they knew the truth, but they chose against it. And in that, they were drawn into greater darkness. Number 24, persecution from local business leaders, Acts 19:23. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way, Acts 19:29. And the whole city was filled with confusion. Here we are again, a whole city. Having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. Note, in this account of persecution, we see an attack come from the economic princes of the city. The craftsmen of Ephesus were rich, and making idols was big business. Paul's gospel was interfering with the idol business, and this infuriated the devil and Demetrius. In 1 Samuel 5, we have an account where the Philistines captured the ark of the Lord and placed it into the house of their idol Dagon. In the morning, when they opened the door, they found Dagon on the floor with his head and his hands cut off. As it was with the Philistines, so it was in Ephesus. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And Paul's preaching was destroying the idol business in that region. In the confusion of the moment, when they could not find Paul, they grabbed two of Paul's fellow laborers, two men from Macedonia, which remember the Macedonian adventure. Things were definitely getting out of hand. Then Paul, when hearing of the commotion, attempted to go into the theater in hopes of shifting their hatred from Gaius and Aristarchus onto himself. Paul was a true leader. In this account, They were saved by a town clerk who stood on Roman authority and disbanded the crowd. How important are laws? They're everything. And to fight to keep good laws enables Christianity to have peace and to prosper. In this situation, this crowd, they were ready to go against the law in order to persecute these men. But thank God there was a man that was going to be obedient to the law, and he stood in their way, and they could not do anything to these men. And the other thing is, I also want you to kind of take a little note about Paul's leadership ability. He was ready to take the persecution personally. He didn't want to see these men persecuted. He was going to take their place and suffer for them. And so what an amazing man he was and is. Number 25, Jews in Greece lay in wait for Paul. Acts 20, verse 3, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail for Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. Note, as stated earlier, Paul's thorn must have been the continual sense of hatred and murder against him. In the midst of such persecution, the Lord continually delivered him. And in fact, we see that he talks about that, the Lord who delivered us and does deliver us, and we believe that he will continue to deliver us. Paul's life was a life of continual deliverance. Oh, amazing. Number 26, in Jerusalem, Jews from Asia take Paul. Acts 21, verse 27, and when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. Note, Paul knew that persecution awaited him in every city where he went. He also knew through the word of wisdom given by Agabus, who was a prophet, that he would be taken by the Jews and then by the Romans during his stay in Jerusalem. On the seventh day of prayer in the temple, Paul's prophetic destiny to Rome began. From the temple of God in Jerusalem to Caesar in Rome, God was planting a seed for church expansion into Europe and from there to all nations. What an amazing thought is that God knew that he had to get the church out of Asia, out of Israel. The church in Israel was already becoming very religious. And also, the church was going to go into a Gentile season. And the Gentile church, in fact, all the church, but the point I'm going to make is the Gentile church is a harvest church. It is a church that is to take the gospel and to preach it to the ends of the earth. In order to do that, God had to get Peter and Paul, the two chief apostles, and to take them out of Israel and to plant them into Rome in order to begin to bring this thrust of gospel power into Europe. Because from Europe, that gospel seed was going to go to the ends of the earth. And so, unfortunately, it took persecution. Paul had to go through quite a lot of persecution there in Jerusalem. When they grabbed him, they were going to kill him. And yet, the Romans stepped in and saved him yet again. Verse number 27, the mob beatings and attempted murder. Acts 21, verse 30 through 32. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain, and that all of Jerusalem was in an uproar. who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Paul was suffering. He had been taken forcefully. He felt the hands of hatred all over him. And then they took him out of the temple and they began to just beat him. The goal was to kill him. Ooh. This persecution turns from physical aggression to attempted murder. The words, "all the city," reveals the size of this persecution against Paul. In this account, Paul experiences the sheer weight of a crowd filled with such hatred for him. It's one thing to have one or two people come after you. It's another thing when it is thousands of people. Then, once again, Paul is beaten for his faith in Jesus. Therefore, now we have clarity why the Lord detoured Paul en route to Jerusalem to the house of Philip the evangelist. Philip's four daughters prophesied, and the Holy Spirit filled Paul's heart with strength and comfort. How we need New Testament inspirational prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:3. And I think it's important, you know, we can read over that pretty quick, but I think if you and I saw the video of the beating he was taking, remember, the goal was to kill him. And thank God the centurion, the Romans showed up at the right time because the devil was going to kill him. Just like he killed Stephen, Paul was in the same situation, in the same city, probably in the same spot, but the Romans stepped in. And just as it was prophesied, it's time to go to Rome. Let's go to number 28. Paul is slapped. Acts 23, verse 2. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Note, Paul, en route to Rome, must endure one more physical bruise at the hands of these religious leaders. They struck Jesus in the face, and now Paul was experiencing the same hatred for the gospel he preached. In AD 70, Jerusalem and its temple were destroyed, and these face-slapping religious leaders found themselves out of a job. They had missed their day of visitation. And, you know, that's sad. I mean, God knew that Jerusalem was going to be leveled and that the Jews were going to be scattered. These men didn't know that. And in their wickedness, they are destroying their own eternity. Here's a man sent from God who saw Jesus and had been given such an apostleship to establish Christianity, and he was right there. Salvation was right there if they had just listened, but they hardened their hearts, and in that they went further into darkness, and then ultimately they were out of jobs. Jerusalem was on a crash course to being leveled. And no one was going to stop it. Jesus had prophesied it. He said, every stone is going to be knocked down and it's just going to be flat. That's Matthew chapter 24. Let's go on to number 29. The Roman captain rescues Paul. Acts 23:10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. Note, as tempers began to flare, the prophetic transition of Paul, originally taken by the Jews, now in the hands of Rome, had come to pass. With the change of hands from one cultural base with its laws to another cultural base with its system of laws, Satan was temporarily hindered. Technically, he could not use the same tactics on Paul that he had used on Stephen. This most likely enraged him. I believe that the devil did not know what to do. Satan was now hindered by Roman law as well as by the presence of the angel that stood by Paul protecting him. This passage gives insight into the power of law and its effects upon societies that live apart from the light of the gospel. There's a lot in there to meditate on because God gives government and government creates laws, and not every law that a government creates is necessarily evil. And in that, those laws can be used to stop Satan. Very powerful. Very powerful. Number 30, 40 Jews conspire to kill Paul. Acts 23:12-13, and when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat or drink until they had killed Paul. And where there were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. Note, Paul, now firmly in the grip of Rome, was still considered a threat to the Jewish religion. Jesus said that Satan, the god of religion, was a murderer from the beginning, and Paul really stirred up that side in Satan. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, having a form of godliness or religion, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And, you know, I always love this this story of these men that make this, you know, this oath, we're not going to eat till we kill Paul. Well, Paul lived for several more years, and so I wonder what happened to these guys. And I think when we get to heaven, we're going to end up asking the Lord, did those guys ever eat, or did they die from starvation? It's a great question. Number 31, Christianity is spoken against everywhere. Acts 28, verse 22. But we desire to hear of thee what you think, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Though the book of Acts deals primarily with the life of Peter and Paul, the fact is that all the apostles functioned in the power of God and had gone in different directions with the gospel. People all over the world knew about the message of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. In this passage, we see that Christianity was spoken against everywhere, and yet it did not stop it. There is a saying, though the dog barks, the train keeps moving. And the concept of this saying holds true in describing the unstoppable power of Christ and his church. And so that's the final persecution in the book of Acts. And wasn't the final persecution in the church history. There's quite a lot of persecution that follows it. But what we see is that the book of Acts doesn't hide persecution. And what it tells you is that if you won't back down, there is a blessing, there is power, and that the church will always overcome. And so let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we receive that impartation, and Father, we thank you for it. We cherish it. The strength that you have placed in the church. I pray right now for my friends that that impartation would go into them and that they would not fear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.